So, lower your expectations.
We had two very good
guests. We had two very good guests over the last few weeks. And now you have us again.
Hello!
But we know that's what you wanted.
Really?
Not really. Yeah. You want more top quality guests, which you're not going to get. But also, if Boo or Scott are listening to these, which they probably aren't, thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming on. It was very nice of you.
I do this all the time.
Yeah, Dara waves at the... Dara waves
I'm doing it now, just again.
He's waving at the Zoom. Why would you bother?
I don't know.
You can't see.
I'm an old chap.
But there we go. So thank you to Boo, to Scott, and...
And
so,
to all the listeners.
And to all the listeners as well. Yeah, to all you people.
I probably shouldn't have said it with such venom
because I didn't actually mean it in a bad way.
I just love you, actually.
I love you all. Yes. I will willingly expose myself to you all. There you go. I've said it now. So yeah.
You don't want that, by the way.
I'm not gonna do one of these stupid things like they seem to be doing on television a lot these days and say, oh, if the post gets so many likes on Facebook, I'll post a picture of my genitals. I'm not gonna do that because that's happening so much. That actually sounds like something from Fifty Shades of Grey.
Oh, okay, good segue back.
So yeah, no, like, cause all this stuff coming up about it.
Hey.
Erections. Well, I decided that because I know that it's a sexy book. Let's call it that. I've got a sexy book.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, there. That's probably the theme song. But I decided I'd read the synopsis, and it just sounds silly. Well, basically, I think it's summed up by the end.
Spoiler alert, I guess.
Spoiler alert, maybe.
Who really cares?
I can't remember what it was, but it's really stupid. Because basically the whole thing is, she's a college graduate, he's a young entrepreneur.
Okay.
And they get into a bit of S&M business. Well, yeah, basically, what happens is, right, so she's sent by her friend who is an interviewer for the college paper, you know.
Yeah.
As you do. And so she goes to interview your man.
Turns out she likes him.
And then ends up being, like, convincing her friend to, like, go back so they can talk again. And then... basically, they go out, she gets drunk, she brings her back to the apartment, and basically, it sounds like a porno.
Yeah.
Because apparently all he just does is, like, he brings her back to his apartment because she's so inebriated and just says, like, I would like to have sex with you.
In that voice.
Yeah, in that voice. But then the weird thing is that he makes her sign waivers, like forms.
Okay.
Like anti-disclosure acts. And, like, the whole film basically seems to be this premise that, oh, will she sign it, won't she? Will she sign it, won't she? Okay. While all the while they're just having sex.
That sounds like a...
Okay, here we go. I've got the plot
it's
here.
It's bizarre.
So, where is it? It's basically after what I've just said, yeah. So, so they're out, they're all drunk. Anna, who's the main girl, finds herself in Christian's hotel room where he scolds her for not taking proper care of herself. Christian then reveals that he would like to have sex with her.
That's a weird segue.
He initially says that Anna will first have to fill out paperwork, but later goes back on this statement after making out with her in the elevator. Okay. And goes on to, Anna goes on a date with Christian where he takes her in his helicopter to his apartment. Once there, Christian insists that she signs a non-disclosure agreement forbidding her to discuss anything that they do together. Which Anna agrees to sign. He also mentions other paperwork, but first takes her to his playroom, full of BDSM toys and gear. There, Christian informs her that the second contract will be one of dominance and submission.
Okay.
And that there will be no romantic relationship, only a sexual one. The contract even forbids Anna from touching Christian or making eye contact with him. And then a whole thing about her being a virgin. The following morning, that's just boring. Oh, his mom, your man's mom, always thought he was gay because she never saw him with women. Over the next few days, Anna received several packages from Christian. These include a laptop to enable her to perform research on the BDSM lifestyle. In consideration of the contract, as well as for the two of them to communicate. Since she has never previously owned a computer and a more detailed version of the dominant submissive contract. She and Christian email each other with Anna teasing him and refusing to honor parts of the contract, such as only eating foods from a specific list.
This is the weirdest book ever.
Anna later meets up with Christian to discuss the contract, only to grow overwhelmed by the potential BDSM arrangement and the potential of having a sexual relationship with Christian that is not romantic in any nature. Okay. Because of these feelings, Anna runs away from Christian and does not see him again until her college graduation, where he's a guest speaker. During this time, Anna agrees to sign the dominant submissive contract. Anna and Christian once again meet up to further discuss the contract, and they go over Anna's hard and soft limits.
Okay.
This is where it gets interesting. Anna is spanked for the first time by Christian.
What?
The experience leaves her both enticed and slightly confused. This confusion is exacerbated by Christian's lavish gifts and the fact that he brings her to meet his family. The two continue with the arrangement without Anna having yet signed the contract. Going back to the contract again.
Okay.
After successfully landing a job at Seattle Independent Publishing, Anna further bristles under the restrictions of the non-disclosure agreement and the complex relationship with Christian. And here we go, the final paragraph.
Right.
The tension between Anna and Christian eventually comes to a head after Anna asks Christian to punish her in order to show her how extreme a BDSM relationship with him could be. Christian fulfills Anna's request, beating her with a belt. Only for Anna to realize that the two of them are incompatible. Devastated, Anna leaves Christian and returns to the apartment she shares with Kate. Is that not just mad? Or is it just me?
Like, you know what though?
Here's the weirder thing. The 50 Shades of Grey trilogy was developed as a Twilight fan fiction series.
I knew that, yeah.
Originally titled Masters of the Universe.
That's so weird.
But the best thing about it is, apparently all the reviews basically just say, it's shit. It's the worst written book in the entire world.
But you know what? If you take out the sex bit, it's really just about a girl who doesn't want to sign a contract.
Yeah.
That's the most boring plot you can ever have. Someone not signing a contract.
Her name is Anastasia Steele and he is Christian Grey.
Oh, God. That's
I see, the problem is now, but there's no synopsis for 50 Shades Darker and 50 Shades Freed. Which is
boo.
I'll try and find him because that was priceless. 50 Let's try and find it because that was like I found it this morning and I was just like, because they apparently year one she tweeted about them finishing. and it was like, oh, you know, last on the wrap, now we have a year to develop this into porn. Oh, here we go.
Oh,
there's
okay.
50 Shades Darker, 50 Shades of Grey Wiki. Oh, well, I don't know if this is going to be 50 Shades Darker, is it? Come on now. Will it be more her refusing to sign the contract?
Two more books about not signing the contract.
What do we got?
Oh
what do
my
we got?
God, that's the best.
Okay, official book summary. Okay, here we go. Okay. Will we go for the summary or the plot?
The plot.
Okay. Yeah. The book starts in the aftermath of Anna and Christian's breakup. Anna starts her job at SIP. Okay. Where she has been hired as a personal assistant to editor Jack Hyde. Anna gets an uneasy feeling about him, but writes it off. Okay. Christian asks her if she needs a ride to her friend Jose Rodriguez's gallery exhibit.
You know something's going on with a guy called Jose.
Jose Rodriguez, and he's a photographer as well.
Oh, yeah.
The pair attend the show and reconcile the relationship. Of course they do, because he beat the shit out of her with a belt.
Yep.
Christian buys SIP, or SIP, but the deal must stay secret for another month. Anna is furious that Christian is interfering in her career, especially after he frees the company's accounts, she can't go on an overnight trip to New York with Jack. Dun dun dun.
Christian's a lot of men.
Yeah. Christian says that it was for her own protection because Jack is a known philanderer.
Oh.
Their suspicions about Jack prove correct when he corners Anna after hours and blackmails her, demanding sexual favors. Anna's self-defense training allows her to escape.
When did the self-defense come in?
When did that come into it? Christian has Jack fired and confiscates his work computer. Anna meets Mrs. Robinson, real name Elena Lincoln.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yeah.
Nice.
For the first time, and finds out that Elena and Christian own a salon business together. Anna is disgusted that Christian continues to be friends with the woman who seduced him when he was only 15 years old. When Mrs. Robinson realizes that Christian...
Wait a minute, that's just a lift from The Graduate. That's going up.
That Christian sees Anna as a girlfriend and not a submissive. She becomes antagonistic towards Anna, trying to sow discord in the budding relationship. Anna starts being stalked at work by a disturbed Layla Williams. Okay, whoever that is. One of Christian's former submissives. But of course, Anna's fear intensifies when she finds out that Layla was able to obtain a gun. The situation comes to a head when Layla breaks into Anna's apartment and threatens her with a gun. Christian is able to defuse the situation by using their dominant submissive dynamic. But this leaves Anna worried that Christian isn't satisfied with a vanilla relationship.
And
Christian confronts about what happened with Layla, and he fears that she is leaving him again. He impulsively asks Anna to marry him, but she tells him that she needs time to think about it.
He's just a weird guy, he really is.
Jose is back.
Hey!
Jose drives to Seattle to visit Anna. Christian still views Jose as a romantic rival and only permits Anna to see him if they both stay at Escala. On the night of Jose's visit, and the night before Christian's 28, Christian goes missing while flying from Portland to Seattle on business with Ross Bailey. He eventually makes it back to Escala unharmed, to the relief of his entire family and staff. He explained that both of his helicopter engines failed. Sabotage is suspected. Anna realizes that she doesn't ever want to be without him and accepts his proposal. The next day, Christian's family throws a dinner. All the friends, including Elena, Christian and Anna announce their engagement. Elena angrily confronts Anna, accusing her of being a gold digger, and insists that Christian will never truly be satisfied with a vanilla relationship. Christian's family overhears the argument and is furious to find out that Elena preyed on their teenage son. Elena leaves the house disgraced, and Christian decides to end their business relationship. Christian pulls Anna away from the party and takes her to the boathouse. Oh God. Which he has decorated with flowers and soft lights. He gets down on one knee, pulls out a ring, and proposes for real. Anna accepts. Outside the Grey Mansion, Jack Hyde watches the events of the party unfold and swears revenge. Should we go to 50 Shades Freed?
Yeah, well, let's see what happens next.
We have to go.
Okay, so book one was a Twilight fantasy.
Yeah.
Book two, completely lifted from
from
The Graduate.
Okay.
In that he had an affair with an older woman called Mrs. Robinson. That's the same plot. That's the... Oh my God, what's... Oh.
Okay, here's 50 Shades Freed, people. I really hope people haven't read these, because this is great. Anna and Christian get married and go on honeymoon in Europe. Christian's purchase of Sip goes through, and when he tells Anna that he wants her to eventually run the business. Okay. When Christian is out of town on a business trip, Anna sneaks out to have drinks with Kate. Ooh. Jack attempts to break into Escala with the intention of kidnapping and assaulting Anna. The security team catches Jack and has him arrested, but Christian is furious with Anna for not staying home when she was told. Anna tells that Christian is too overprotective and controlling, but she tries to understand why he feels the need to protect her. Christian surprises Anna by inviting Kate, Elliot, Mia, and Ethan to all go on vacation in Aspen, Colorado. Elliot proposes to Kate at a restaurant in front of all their friends. Ray is badly injured in a car accident with a drunk driver.
Ray?
No idea. But manages to make a full recovery. Anna learns that she is pregnant because her birth control shot ran out early and she missed 4 appointments with Dr. Green. When she tells Christian, he walks out on her. He tries to find Dr. Flynn, but instead finds himself at Elena's salon. He later comes home drunk while Anna is trying to get him in bed. She sees a text from Elena and worries that their marriage is on the rocks. Of course it is! Jack is bailed out of prison by an unknown party, later revealed to be Elena's ex-husband, Mr. Lincoln. Okay. Jack and his accomplice, revealed to be Elizabeth Morgan, drug and kidnap Mia and hold her for $5 million ransom. Anna is able to outwit Jack and manages to save Mia's life, but is hurt in the process. Later, Anna discovers that Jack wanted revenge against Christian for destroying his life and taking Sip away from him. Elizabeth eventually feels guilty for her part and willingly testifies against Jack to the police.
Okay.
At the hospital, Christian is upset with Anna for endangering both her and their baby's life, but apologizes for walking out on her. Most of Anna's friends and family are upset with her for being reckless, except for Mia, who is actually grateful for being rescued. Christian finally opens up to Anna about his childhood in Detroit and his relationship with Elena. With Christian finally opening up to her, Anna's worries are put to rest. In the epilogue, Anastasia and Christian have a son, Theodore, and are expecting their second child, a daughter they name Phoebe. Kate and Elliot marry and have a daughter named Ava. Bonus material. In the bonus material, there are several scenes written from Christian's perspective. Two were set during his childhood. We also see the events of the first chapters of 50 Shades of Grey and 50 Shades Darker from his perspective. Okay.
Now, let's just dissect though quickly.
Yeah.
So basically, nothing happens, really, at all.
Yes.
Christian and Anastasia, whatever, are both Egypts, it seems like.
Yeah.
They're both just a bit thick. And they fall in love, and they have a baby, and someone, Mrs. Robinson, tries to kill her.
Someone, Mrs. Robinson.
Contracts, and nothing happens.
Oh, actually, here it tells you, on this thing, it tells you the characters that are from the Twilight ones, and the characters from the 50 Shades where the names have changed.
Okay. So,
Bella Swan is Anna, Edward Cullen is Christian Grey,
yeah.
Rosalie Hale is Kate, Jasper Hale is Ethan, Emmett Cullen is Elliot, Alice Cullen is Mia, Dr. Carlisle Cullen is Carrick Grey.
Do you know, well, I actually don't know any of the Twilight people after the first two. It turns out
Jacob Black, which is basically Jack Black, is Jose Luis Rodriguez Jr. Billy Black.
I think Jacob is the werewolf guy.
Ah, possibly.
Taylor Long.
Billy Black is Jose Rodriguez Sr.
Okay.
Any other silly names? Franco De Luca, Barney Sullivan.
Barney. Okay.
Barney. Jerry Roach.
Jerry Roach is a very Irish name.
Like, this is supposed to be a comparison, but literally it says, Master of the Universe versus 50 Shades of Grey events. The plots of both MOTU and 50 Shades are largely the same and only differ on minor points. Okay.
And that's it.
Yep, that's it.
When that film comes out.
Yeah.
That's going to be thrilling.
Do you know what? I'm tempted to go and just laugh all the way through. Because I think it would be hilarious.
I kind of... This is a little bit off kilter. I'm tempted to turn it into a musical.
Okay. What have we got first for that?
Will she sign the contract? 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 That's all that happens in the film. We'll work on it.
Very good. It needs more work.
This is a song I've been working on for quite a while, actually. And I think it would fit the film perfectly, the sequel more so.
Okay, 50 Shades Darker. Oh, okay, interesting.
So, because obviously it's going to get a sequel, because it's going to be huge.
Of course it is. They should have done a Nymphomaniac and made all three at the same time and just released them. Because Nymphomaniac probably thought it wouldn't get a second film.
So they just made...
Made both.
Both, yeah. So, this is a song I've been working on for a while. I'm quite proud of it.
Go on then. Hit me with your rhythm stick.
To you, Mrs.
Just be careful so we don't get sued. Simon and Garfunkel.
There's a 10-second rule with music, as far as I know. Or, actually, there's another rule, which is if you comment on it critically, you don't play. So, Mrs. Robinson, fantastic song.
I just remembered, because we haven't had a chance to discuss it on a podcast since. The BAFTAs!
The BAFTAs! Oh.
Are you fucking joking?
McConaughey and Leto, where were they?
Not even a fucking nomination. Like, it's literally as though they just went, we can't give it to them because they'll win.
Yeah.
We have to have British actors winning, even though, you know, what was it, J-Law's won. And the guy from Captain Phillips, who's from, like...
Very few, only one British guy won, because Chiwetel's British. But Kate Blanchett's Australian.
Chiwetel Ejiofor is brilliant in 12 Years a Slave, but... But I just felt if you're not even going to nominate McConaughey, you have to give it to DiCaprio because he's better. You do. The film, 12 Years a Slave as a film, is stunning.
Yeah.
But his performance, and also, I thought if you're not going to give Leto a nomination, it has to go to Fassbender. Yeah. Personally, that's what I thought, because out of the other performances now...
Although, to be fair, the Captain Phillips guy, I'm glad he won, because they were so excited. Did you see, like, Hanks was beaming for about 5 minutes after the speech? I feel like Fassbender...
I got really annoyed, I went on a bit of a rant.
Fassbender's not bothered about awards, it seems like. Like, I don't even know if he's going to the Oscars.
No, he's not. He wasn't at the Golden Globes.
And he never campaigned for the Oscars, he didn't bother campaigning at all, because he was filming.
But I just think, like...
Yeah, Leto and McConaughey.
I actually think, I thought it was disgraceful. I was like, that is... I think it undermines the event as a whole because the two best actors of the year haven't even been nominated. So I think it undermines the BAFTAs. I think it really does. I think they made such a huge mistake. I really do. And it was really annoying.
Yeah.
Because I've seen...
It's only an award show.
Because apart from... I haven't seen... For the main actor categories, I saw 12 Years a Slave. I saw Wolf of Wall Street. I saw... I've seen...
The other one.
American Hustle. Yeah. I didn't see Captain Phillips. And...
The other one
didn't see
the
Nebraska.
Candelabra, I think.
No, it was Bruce Dern in Nebraska, wasn't it?
No, well, I mean, Matt Damon was up for supporting actors.
Yeah,
but I don't know if
Douglas wasn't up. It was definitely Bruce Dern, I think.
Okay, then.
It was Bruce Dern. Now, I can understand DiCaprio, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Christian Bale, and Bruce Dern. But I was just like, Tom Hanks? Like, of all the actors that I would take out to put McConaughey in, it would be Tom Hanks, I think.
I still love Tom Hanks,
though.
I do love Tom Hanks,
but it really just...
It just seemed bizarre that they wouldn't even get a look in.
Yeah, it's like, and as I said, I think it undermines the British Academy of Film.
Yeah.
It really does, and I think it's a total disgrace. I think it's embarrassing for them as well. If I was the chairperson of BAFTA, I would be quite embarrassed. That the two best actors didn't even get a look in.
It just seems weird.
It was just like...
Again, though, it is only an award ceremony. It's not that big a deal.
No offense to Chiwetel Ejiofor and your man from Captain Phillips, but you're not going to win an Oscar because you're in the same category as...
It'll go to the Dallas part.
It will. No offense. It will.
I don't think they take offense.
It's just normally the BAFTAs are a good judge for the Oscars. They're like the last big one before the Oscars. And you can normally say Philip Seymour Hoffman just won the best actor at the BAFTA, he won the best actor at the Oscars.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else, Ben Affleck, I don't think he won. Did he win best actor at the BAFTAs? Or Argo.
He never won Best Actor. He wasn't nominated for any actor.
Was he not? All right. Well,
he won Best Film.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. I can't remember anyone. So I think Christian Bale won Best Supporting for The Fighter, and he won Best Supporting at the Oscars.
Yeah, I mean,
generally it goes that way. Don't get your hopes up, boys, because you got lucky that the other two were that Leto and McConaughey were nominated. If you could be certain of two awards that will be given, it is those two. Because they're by far and away the two best.
And it's a pity because any other year, it's a very strong year.
It's a very strong year, but if I won, I would have had to go, this is amazing and this is brilliant, but I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd admit it on camera, but I think if you asked the two of them, so have you seen Dallas Buyers Club? And if they've both seen the film, I think they would both have to agree.
Yeah.
That it's like...
Again, though, it's only an award show. It doesn't really make a huge difference to the work. The work still stands on its own. It's just a fancy thing, a nice recognition, but it's not a huge deal, I don't think.
No, it's not, but it's just a bit. It's annoying how undermining that is. That's what annoyed me about it.
It just felt out that they got completely smashed.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. It was like, you're not even going to give them a nomination.
And I thought maybe it was because it came out a little bit later in the UK. I thought it might have been up for next year, but it turns out it was...
No, it was up for it this year.
But anyway, sure, we'll see. And again, it's only awards. The films are still good, whatever way.
Yeah, no, Dallas Buyers Club is still one of the two best acting performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree.
12 Years a Slave is still one of the best films I've ever seen. Acting-wise...
I think the two in Dallas Buyers Club just trumped
the two in Dallas, yeah, really. And to be honest with you, acting-wise, I thought Fassbender was actually my favourite from the film because he was genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
Haven't seen Captain Phillips.
We have it on DVD, we just bought it today, I'll watch it soon.
Yeah, I bought The World's End the other day, best buy in a while.
That's great for
Best that. Buy. And it's Brosnan is the other Bond.
Yeah.
Oh, Brozzers. Good man yourself.
Love Brosnan.
Did you watch Graham Norton last night?
No, who's on?
Dominic Cooper, Lily Allen, and Miriam Margulies.
Oh, cool.
And they were talking about...
Last time Miriam Margulies was on, she was on with Will.i.am, and she was hilarious.
She's hilarious. So offensive, it's brilliant. But they were talking last night, and they were talking about Mamma Mia. Actually, they were talking about... They asked her if she'd seen Mamma Mia, and she just went, "That film's terrible!" Sitting right beside Dominic Cooper. And...
You know, with the Will.i.am one, it was really weird because she was like, you know, I don't get to meet a lot of black friends in this
business.
Don't
meet many black men.
And they became like a weird sitcom of sorts.
Yeah. Because he could tell, like, Will.i.am, she wasn't trying to be offensive.
No, she's just...
That was just her. She also tells a menstruation story on last night's episode.
Nice.
But it was brilliant. He was talking about Mamma Mia and how his family came to see him. And it was the one, you know, the bit at the end where they have all the
I've
mad...
I've never seen it, but...
Oh, but there's a bit at the end where they have all the kind of the Mad ABBA jumpsuits and he's like a penguin, and Brosnan was doing it that day as well. But they were filming it at the same studios that they were filming Casino Royale.
Okay.
And they were saying him and Brosnan were walking across the car park in these big, huge leather, like...
Big jumpsuits.
Pink and bright blue jumpsuits as Daniel Craig pulled in an Aston Martin. And it was just like... This is what happens. Bonds young and old. You're just like, oh my Jesus. It's like, can you imagine Pierce Brosnan just seeing him pulling in, being like, oh, that was me like 10 years ago.
Speaking of Graham Norton, did you see the Monument Men one with Matt Damon? Bill
yeah.
Murray? That was fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Your man Hugh Bonneville just seemed to get, I don't know.
Oh, he was really funny though.
But towards the end, he seemed to get quite like, I can't get a word in with Murray. I can't. Let me be funny.
No, I think it was all in good humour, though.
Yeah.
It seemed.
Oh, Bill Murray was great.
The bit where the woolly jumper came out. And Bill Murray just lost it.
I love Bill Murray.
And then the Japanese story.
Yeah. But the stories about Bill Murray are just brilliant in general.
He just turns up places and...
But I love that thing, it's like he walks up to people and like in McDonald's, takes chips from their plate, eats them and just goes, no one will ever believe you, and leaves. Like, he just does shit like that.
Or there was the one on Graham Norton, Matt Damon was saying, it's like him and his wife are in the hotel getting a bite to eat, and then Bill Murray comes down the day before, they have loads of press about my name, it's 5 p.m. then it's like, I'm not going to make the dinner tonight. Why? I'm going to Prague. I was like, but how long is Prague away? It's a 5-hour train, right? It's like, so what time are you leaving at 6? So you'll be there at like 11 midnight? Yeah.
Tour at like 1 in the morning in Prague. Yeah.
And then he came back and he got in right bang on time for the 9 a.m. press. It's like he's just
I love that. And you know, I got it as well. I always used to confuse Mark Wahlberg and Matt Damon.
Oh yeah.
I always used to do that, and I love I love that idea that it's like, you know, they've talked about it. So when you're confused for Mark Wahlberg,
just be nice.
Just be nice. You know, you have to keep his reputation intact. But as Graham Norton said, you know, if you are actually Mark Wahlberg, you'll end up sitting on my lap and just caressing my nipples.
Yeah.
I was smiling.
Then Bonneville got to the toilet, that was funny.
Bonneville in the red chair.
Bonneville in the red chair was funny. It was good. It was just a great show. But
the Miriam Margulies one was good last night. The period story. It was quite good.
Other TV things. The Brits were shit.
Go ahead.
But some cool things happened.
Yes.
Within the shitness. First of all, James Corden was shite again.
As usual.
But I think he's stepping down this year.
Do you know what the problem is?
But the thing about the Brits is it's not. No one wants a host. Because... You're going to be shit no matter what. I don't think you can really
But no,
do
not even that. Not even that. My problem with James Corden is when he started with Gavin and Stacey, he was fine.
Yeah.
He's gotten too big for his boots.
He's very smug. He's just
he's
got a
so
very smug.
And he thinks he's funny. Now, he is funny. I'll give it to him. He has had some genuine... He does say...
And in the right circumstances, the smug thing can work. Like, League of Their Own is pretty good.
No, occasionally that doesn't work for me. The whole thing.
It's not perfect, but I think it's pretty good overall.
Yeah, and but when
and then like when he writes stuff, like Gavin Stacey was great.
Gavin Stacey was great.
The Wrong Man's was quite good.
I didn't watch it. I've been meaning to watch it.
I have it on DVD. It's good. It's like it's quite funny.
I agree. He's just too smug at times. And
the Britsy just because the no.
Like
one
remember
anyway,
the remember
so.
The Patrick Stewart thing.
Yeah, that was just...
That was a bit over the top, like, where he just confronted him on the stage. I just, like, it's Patrick Stewart, man. He can say whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Although, now again, at the Brits, Jimmy Carr got up and he bombed as well, and he's funny.
Yeah, Jimmy Carr's not... No, but Jimmy Carr's funny with an auto-cue.
He had another cue for this as well, though. It's the Brits.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's TV. It just, things don't
like, improv doesn't work well for
comedy
him.
Comedy isn't good on the Brits. No, like, people just want to see who wins and then see good performances. So like, that's the thing.
Jimmy Carr's been on a league of their own, and I didn't find him very funny, because when he's improvising, I just don't think it's that good.
I think it's just better for the Brits probably to just get through it as quickly as possible, really. But then, okay, Arctic Monkeys are great.
As usual.
They had some...
Played Are You Mine, didn't they?
Played Are You Mine. They had some pyrotechnics and...
Cool.
And then... Oh, Ellie Goulding played.
Bad.
Someone needs to get that fucker out of the tune machine. Because she... Shit. Oh my god. And do you know how bad it was?
I love how violently you said that. Darren doesn't normally talk like that. Someone needs to get that fucker and auto tune.
She was rubbish. She did like a medley, she did an acoustic thing of the Calvin Harris song, and then she went into that song Burn. She was at least like a tone.
She's like the English Taylor Swift. That's what she kind of reminds me of, just not country.
But she's just shit. She's just really bad. She couldn't sing.
Taylor's
no
shit as well.
She was shite. One Direction are going to split up soon.
Yes.
I can almost guarantee it. Harry missed the first award because he was in the bathroom.
Excellent.
Which means cocaine. It means cocaine. Yeah. If you're going to the bathroom at the when break. You're up for an award, you're doing cocaine.
You're doing
cocaine. Almost certain. And then when they got up to win for their second award, Liam kind of really violently turned around to the other lads and was like...
He's the one who's had the big mental breakdown on Twitter.
So he looks pissed off, and they're all a bit drunk and high probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he turns around to the other three lads and goes, "It's nice, isn't it, being here as a five piece? All five of us here, right? Am I right, guys? Yeah, it's nice being one of us didn't feck off to the bathroom, right?"
I'd love it if he had just gone.
And then Harry went like, "We'd like to thank our it was best video, so we'd like to thank our director, Ben." the director's name was Ben Winston, actually. Me and Ben went to school with a Ben Winston, so... Who's the camp fella in One Direction? Who played football and puke? Louis, maybe?
I want to say Louis, yeah.
And then...
Yeah, because he was playing for Celtic and he was on for 10 seconds and one lad just fucking flattened him. It was hilarious.
And he puked and went up.
Yeah, he puked. So yeah, big bitch.
So Harry thanks Ben, and then right after your man Louis just goes up, "Do we thank Ben? Hello, Ben!" And then they left the stage. And Niall couldn't get off because he was on crutches, so he spent like about 2 minutes trying to walk off the stage. And everyone else in the band was really pissed, so they couldn't help him at all. They were worse
Excellent.
Than him, mobility-wise. They're going to break up soon. Next album will be their last, I'm almost certain. Bowie. This is mad. Bowie won Best Male Artist. Mm-hmm. Noel Gallagher presented that award. And then when
Kate
people...
Moss talk, didn't
yeah, people were cheering for Bowie, and Noel Gallagher was like, "You didn't think he'd actually turn up, would you? He's way too cool for you guys." And then he was like, "Kate Moss is going to accept the award." And then Kate Moss comes up with a piece of paper.
And I heard about this. This was something either
this is a bit weird.
It was either offensive or it's offended people.
It's offended people. I'll tell you now. He started off with like something like, in Japanese mythology, I would be Venus and Kate would be the Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went like, "It's very nice end of the day to win this award. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Scotland, stay with us."
Ooh!
And then the audience just, they made that sound. They made the ooh sound. And then Kate Moss and Noel Gallagher walked off.
Oh.
No one will ever talk to Bowie again, it seems so.
I don't know. That seems
that's like that was it.
That seems to have really pissed people off.
Scottish independence is a
big issue at the moment.
He probably doesn't even care. He probably just wanted to stir some shit up. Anyway, okay. Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up.
Okay, bye bye. Hope this didn't live up to your expectations. So there we go. See, I've covered us there. Back next week. Possibly with a guest, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably we'll be just be us chatting. Hopefully something interesting happens in the news that we can have a little rant about.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.